Jobs.com/WFED.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
House Homeland Security Committee ranking member Benny Thompson.
Despite being the new kid on the block, according to the recent GAO report, things are moving along. One of the positive aspects of putting the department together and over $300 billion in resources in it is that we've not had a successful incident on the homeland since 9/11.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Sign up for Federal News Radio's email alerts to stay on top of the latest news affecting the federal community. Go to federalnewsradio.com and click the sign up button at the top of the page.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jeff Ward, who's Vice President for Federal MAS 360 by FiberLink, and his colleague Josh Lambert, who is MAS 360's iOS Product Manager. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, John.
Morning, John.
So the company is FiberLink, and I guess the service at your office is MAS 360, is that right?
That's correct. Mobility as a service.
Mobility as a service. Well, great. I think it's an important topic to bring in. I wanted to bring you in because the last three or four shows I've had, I've done shows on mobile apps. We had people in from the U.S. Department of Agriculture with an app called Ask Karen. I thought this was kind of interesting that they wanted to have an app specifically for mobile devices. We had vaccines.gov on the air. And they designed their website expressly for mobile devices. What they decided, they did a survey, and many of their people who want information on vaccines don't own a personal computer, but they own a phone. And it's kind of interesting. So I thought we'd take this concept of mobility and federal IT professionals and mix it up and talk about managing the mobile devices and maybe security with mobile devices. So we have a lot of people in the federal government responding to citizen requests by talking about mobile applications, but I think we also have to talk about the federal IT professionals who are charged with managing all these devices that seem to waltz into their office. But before we begin, I thought we'd get a little bit of background on both you gentlemen. Jeff, perhaps you could tell us how you wound up with this company.
Sure, John. I attended the University of Virginia and was Marine ROTC, so ended up going into the Marine Corps when I got out of UVA. When I was looking to, when peace was breaking out in the late 80s and looking for something else to do, an old college roommate of mine got in touch with me about selling technology, and we were selling 40 megabyte wash tub disk drives. Back in the early 90s, and long story short, reconnected with him in 2000. He was a gen who founded FiberLink back in the early 90s and been working with them since 2002. And you know, interestingly enough, to your point, FiberLink's been managing mobile devices for 20 years, always laptops, but,
wow.
But on top of, you know, not down in the application layer as you described, but up on the managing the devices themselves. So it's important to make sure. And I think it's a great topic because we're not down managing the apps. We want to let the customers decide what apps they put on those devices. Mm-hmm. And to us now, it doesn't matter if it's a laptop, which we still consider a mobile device, or a smartphone, iPad, iPhone, Droid, whatever.
Fiber, F as in Frank, FiberLink, FiberLink.com for more information. Josh, you're a young fella. Tell us about your background and how you wound up working at FiberLink.
Yeah, absolutely. So I graduated from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute a couple of years ago. And essentially my first job out of college was FiberLink. I did some other kind of internships and co-ops while I was in school. But this would be my first full-time job after college. And I've held a number of different positions, as you can probably imagine, at FiberLink, going from support to working on some of the laptop products that Jeff has been mentioning. And now I've been recently for about a little over a year now, the product manager for our iOS product line here for our MDM solution.
You know, when it comes to mobile, understanding mobile technology, it's a real advantage to be young. My 20-year-old daughter has a friend who wrote a mobile app, and Microsoft offered him a job making $90,000 and it's going to take him out to the West Coast. I mean, it's just interesting how knowledge in this area of mobility is so new, and a lot of recent trends, and you have to keep up with it. Keeping up with it, you read all kinds of statistics. One statistic I like to talk about is Cisco Vice President Mary Brown says that by 2015, the number of mobile Internet users around the globe will increase 56 times to 788 million users. That's a lot of people in Africa with smartphones. A lot of people in the United States with smartphones, people in Africa with feature phones. But in the United States here, 25% of Americans have smartphones. So if you are a federal IT professional, you're right in the middle of it because you're dealing with a lot of people who are walking into your office with mobile devices, tablet devices, new tablet devices, and you're charged with trying to manage them. And how do you do that? I mean, do you set up a policy yourself? Does the agency set up a policy? Or what exactly do you do? How do you manage these devices? And I think, Jeff, your company has seen this over the last 15, 20 years, how to manage laptops, and you've taken your ability to manage laptops and put it to the cloud.
Exactly, and I think that's a significant significant difference because, you know, if you see all the initiatives that are coming out of OMB in terms of telework and COOP, green IT, certainly cloud first and continuous monitoring. Well, how do you continuously monitor a device when it's off your network? That's exactly what we've been doing for 15 years. And I think it provides a complementary technology and solves a huge gap in the security equation that what we define as the mobile blind spot. So most people, when they think of cloud, think, well, that's less secure. In many ways, if you think about what we're doing, we're just leveraging the cloud as a service. So it's not the typical concerns about outsourcing applications and things like that, but really enabling a way that federal IT professionals can see devices that aren't connected to their network, that are personal devices, not just government-owned, then giving them that visibility and control and true continuous monitoring of all devices at all times.
You know, Josh, if you pick up Network World from May, you find out that your company was a clear choice winner for companies that can manage mobile devices. And so your product isn't a piece of software that would buy and install on my server in my agency and manage all my serial numbers that way. It's a different concept. It's a service more than an application program that you'd buy and install on a machine. Why don't you describe the service for our listeners maybe from 40,000 feet in the cloud to what exactly it does?
Yeah, absolutely. So we offer management solutions for essentially every mobile device platform there is, as Jeff was saying, from laptops to Androids to iOS to BlackBerry, kind of run the gamut there. And we run it from the cloud as a managed service. So there's no hardware you have to put in your DMZ. There's no firewall changes you have to make to run our service. And since it's a managed service, we take care of all of the upgrades and redundancy and reliability questions that you might have with the service you put on-prem. And I think with the mobile device market moving so quickly, you can imagine, look a year back at even the iOS or Android platforms, the capabilities have changed so rapidly. Trying to keep up with the upgrades and the new features and functionality being added to platforms, we can kind of take off that kind of upgrade and management burden from the you know, the agencies and kind of take care of ourselves.
You know, in the desktop world, you may have primarily Windows users. But in the mobile world, well, it's not one operating system. It may be five operating systems with multiple types of hardware with different versions of operating systems. So from the perspective of a federal IT person trying to manage this, Jeff, I don't know. I mean, you just spend 8 hours a day keeping up with new versions, wouldn't you?
Well, that, again, speaks to Josh makes a great point about having a managed service, or as some of our federal customers say, throwing it over the fence. So we've built our platform to be vendor agnostic, and it's all about, you know, we all know the budget crunch that's going on. It's all about doing more with less, managing time, money, and resources. And if you can leverage technologies from the cloud as a managed service, that's key, then you can accomplish those goals. You know, Josh's point about change control is fantastic. If you've got a two-month change control cycle and Apple iOS is changing every month, you can do the math and realize you'll never catch up. In fact, you're just going to be digging a deeper and deeper hole.
So what happens with your service, if you read the article in Network World, and I'm sure you can Google that pretty easily, it's clear choice winner. You can pull it up from May 25th. What happens is you can take and enforce policy from a central area rather than have it distributed by virtue of using a web service like you have. So if there's a specific policy for devices, you can mandate that they use it or they won't have access to the network.
Yeah, thanks, John. Absolutely. So I think with these devices, in particular iOS and Android, they're very consumer experience oriented, and the device makers have really gone to great lengths to make sure that those experiences are as best as possible. And so we usually take a carrot and stick approach where we set a policy, and in some cases we can completely outright block certain things, but not everything. And so in many cases, if you do something that the IT department doesn't want you to do, we can take away some access rights, maybe your email or VPN, and kind of prod you into complying back with those policies. But it doesn't necessarily block a lot of what you can do within the power of these devices by restricting them down too much.
You know, Jeff, before we started in the studio here, I said, well, what do you think about WebOS? What do you think about Windows 7? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I was trying to trip you up or something. You said, I don't care. I don't care about the web. We don't care about whatever operating system you choose. It's not the point is not the operating system, because if you have a central facility, your central location can worry about all the versions and differences and types of software and protect the people at the other end from worrying and making all those considerations. That's really the bottom line is, not important what type of operating system and mobile devices or version, you guys can have it covered.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep in mind, we're not hosting any apps or anything. It's just a service that we provide. So it eliminates a lot of the security. And, by the way, we are FISMA certified and have built in the 60 extra FedRAMP controls that we're just waiting to get signed off now by the federal government. But you're 100% right. It's about being agnostic and providing the services that that the customer requires. And because it is a managed service, we can customize things fairly well. We had one federal customer who recognized early that one of the holes in the Apple iOS system, I'm going to tout some of Josh's achievements here, but they said this is a problem. If a user can opt out of mobile device management control, not just Mastery 60s, but anybody's, and then they promptly lose their device that has federal information on it, I can't wipe them. So that's a great point. And our boys figured out how to make sure that a user cannot opt out of MDM control. And if they do, take immediate action to protect that device.
We're going to have to take a break when we come back, talk more about protecting smartphones and how the cloud all fits into this, because it's an interesting application of a managed service in a cloud that actually is a cheaper way to manage different mobile devices than trying to do it yourself. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Jeff Ward. He's a vice president for federal sales for Moz 360, and Josh Lambert, Moz 360's iOS product manager.
Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
This past week, researchers reported a key step toward a possible treatment for AIDS, and it was discovered by players of a computer game. Using the online game Foldit, people around the world can collaborate and compete to predict how proteins fold. Zoran Popovich at the University of Washington says it's beyond fun.
People from all walks of life can actually hold the answer to some big scientific discovery.
Popovich asked gamers to model the 3D structure of a key protein from an AIDS-like virus. It had stumped scientists for 15 years.
We're leveraging human creativity, something that obviously computers cannot do well at all.
The game might also be used to personalize learning.
We figured out a new way to create really highly skilled people on a particular domain.
Think your kid as a math whiz. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Remember when you tried doing something for the first time? You probably weren't very good at it. On a scale of stinko to virtuoso, chances are you were right down there. But you kept at it, and soon you went from not so hot to halfway decent. Kaiser Permanente reminds you, we all start out as beginners, stumbling over our feet, going right instead of left, swinging and missing. So whatever you're curious about, tennis or horseback riding, playing guitar or pole dancing, softball or soccer, forget about being perfect and focus on the fun. The rest will fall into place. So come on, stumblers. Bumblers, listen up. It's okay to stink. Just start. Kaiser Permanente. We want you and your interests to thrive. Visit kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Here's an inspiring story provided by Insperity.
Hi, I'm Tony Sterling, Vice President of Project Support Services Incorporated, a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. We provide project and contract support services to federal, state, and local government. I wear many hats in my job, as I'm sure most of you do, in small and mid-market companies. In 2008, we had only 46 employees. Now, thanks to Insperity's diverse spectrum of services, we have 156 employees and a true national footprint. One of the keys to our rapid growth is Insperity. They give us the resources of a large corporation in areas like HR, payroll, recruiting, training, and consulting on compliance issues. It's comforting to know that we have Insperity in our corner.
Insperity understands the many challenges faced by the federal contracting community. You need the right resources to give you the competitive advantage. Insperity's multi-state infrastructure gives you big company resources without compromising your status. Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Join 36,000 people from around the world, including senior leaders from the Army, DOD, and Congress, at the 2011 AUSA Annual Meeting and Exposition. This professional development forum is October 10th through the 12th at the Washington Convention Center and features exhibits on two levels and in five halls, all centered around this year's theme, America's Army, the Strength of the Nation. Admission is free but limited to qualified persons. For more information, please visit www.ausa.org.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Jeff Ward, who is Vice President Federal for Mass 360, and Josh Lambert, Mass 360's iOS Product Manager. And Josh, I want to ask you the question. So we have an environment where multiple manufacturers, different versions of five or six operating systems, we have different carrier networks with different constraints in each carrier network. And so we have federal IT professionals sitting in their office, all these people walking with these different devices. You know, I guess, what would be the key components, just so you'd put in a piece of paper and maybe share with our listeners, for managing all these different types of mobile devices for an enterprise?
Yeah, I think the first key component really is a policy of what you want to try and accomplish here with these devices. And that's, I think, is really the driver for embracing these devices. And so once you decide what you're going to do with or what kind of services you want to allow and expose to these devices, you can then talk about how you want to secure them and make sure that that's accessed in a responsible way. And then I think kind of an add-on to that is the personal device question if you want to try and support these as well, what types of services will you let these users access, given that they are personal devices, given that you might not want to do a complete wipe on them? Maybe you have a kind of a stepped approach where if you want access to email, you take these restrictions. If you want access to email and VPN, you know, you then have to kind of step up and to kind of take a more more secure approach and agree to more stringent actions that could be taken on your device, for example.
Because many of my listeners are in a situation where they may be working for an agency. They have an agency assigned device and then their own personal device. And next to them is a contractor with, guess what? Maybe an agency to find their own. So that's four in addition to their own desktop computer. And oh, by the way, they may have a tablet as well. Yeah. And so just trying to establish what the policies are for the varying levels of security and different types of devices, that may be, is that the place to start, trying to figure out who gets access to what?
I think it absolutely is. And I think once you decide who accesses what, you can then start assigning what types of security policies you need for each kind of grade of access. And I think with personal devices, you can almost let it be up to the employee and say, look, you know, if you want access to these services, this is the restrictions and security compliance and kind of a usage agreement that you might kind of ascribe to or agree to. And that we might wipe your device, for example, if we're concerned about something, and you take that highest level of or higher level of access. And if you only want email, maybe it's a bit easier.
And it's going to change. Because if anything we know for sure is that operating system is going to change, new versions are going to change, and possibly weaknesses are going to be found. And so these policies almost have to be dynamic and almost have to be, I don't know, reviewed every 30 to 60 days. Is that too often?
I think that's generally what you see. I mean, it varies from agency to agency, but that's where it's important, again, to get to a managed service and a vendor-agnostic platform, almost a policy-agnostic platform. So you can think about it, really, what the service that we're providing is mobile network access control. So that concept of NAC that people have done so well at the network for so many years, all we're suggesting is don't get rid of that. Just extend that out into the proverbial cloud onto the actual devices themselves and provide the ability to do some compliance checking, remediation, actually fix something before it connects to your network and not waiting for them to get to your network and then perhaps bring in some issues.
Well, Jeff, I've got to ask you the question was, so you've been doing this for 20 years, your company's been doing this for 20 years, FiberLink. What did they do before they managed mobile devices? What were they doing 6 or 7 years ago, and what was the impetus to make this switch, this change?
Well, I think, you know, we've heard it a million times now, this consumerization. It was interesting. I was at a conference, and there was a time where the government would sort of be dictating to the IT world, here's where we're going. You need to catch up and let us and help us get there. It's kind of gone the other direction now, where the IT world is driving. And if the federal government's really trying to attract the new millennials, you know, with everybody's talking about the silver tsunami and the retiring of the federal workforce, if you can get these young hotshots out of school, you're going to need to enable the devices that they're going to want to use. So they're sort of being driven towards the concepts of mobility and cloud and continuous monitoring. So I really credit Vivek Kundra and what he did as the first federal CIO. He was way in front of it, I think, and these initiatives that he's got out there on the street are spot on.
Cloud first. We all know that initiative. Josh, let me ask you a question. In the early stages of the product development, was this product just first initial release just for Apple only? Or tell me about the early years of Mass 360.
Yeah, sure. So certainly we started on the laptop side for sure, and we've been there for a number of years. And then we actually expanded out to supporting email platforms, Lotus Notes, you know, Traveler, for example, and Microsoft Exchange, because that's that's really the core critical need is email access and making sure that you have secure access to email and you don't have devices that you don't want connecting and retrieving email. So we kind of crossed that next bridge there, and then we've then added on we call our more deeper management integration with the iOS platform and Android platform as they become available. And so really on the iOS and Android platforms, you really couldn't do much until fairly recently, maybe about a year, as they started building in these enterprise and federal APIs and controls into these devices and making them manageable over the air via an enterprise admin. And so as they've done that, we've been right there supporting them.
So what the company's done over the years is they've flexed with the popularity and declining popularity of certain systems. For example, I would imagine that Lotus Notes is probably declining in popularity. Is that a fair statement?
I'm not entirely sure. We certainly see a fair amount of Lotus Notes Traveler. So a lot of our sort of our customers that we had for a number of years have been on Lotus Notes Traveler and don't show any signs of moving, to be honest with you. I think as long as IBM keeps up with the Traveler and can keep supporting these devices as they come out, people will still stay on them. I think they clearly have a good base of enterprises there.
Jeff, what do you think of Notes? Going down, flat, popular still?
Well, it's hard for us to say. Again, our whole goal is to, you know, keep it open and whatever the wherever our customers are driving, the operating systems will be there. You know, case in point, to your earlier question, you know, we had a mobility client built about 5 years ago, and nobody bought it. So as the industry's caught up, you know, we feel very confident that the things that we've been doing in the laptop world for years in terms of managing applications on the laptop, so that the customer can build whatever security apps and whatever other apps they want, we can make sure that they're there and resident and running when that device is off network. We've already got the architecture in place to do that on smart devices. And frankly, we're waiting for the smart device industry to catch up so that when somebody does write a firewall app or an antivirus app It's very easy to snap that into our platform and make sure that's one of those, as Josh described earlier, that carrot and stick that, okay, if you don't have it, you've got X amount of time to put that on your device. Otherwise, you're going to be cut off from email or maybe something more significant.
So, Josh, if let's say I am a federal IT professional and they assign me the task of managing these mobile devices, are there best practices? Are there certain choices or limitations that I could give to my employees in saying, well, here's three devices of the tablet nature that you can choose from, and here's three phones that we approve of. Is that a good approach, or should you be more wide open? And what would be a best practice for one of my listeners to deploy a system like this?
Yeah, I think in the case of in the federal space, I think here is really important to have that encryption support. And so not all devices on either iOS or Android have encryption. Some of the older iOS devices don't have it, and a number of the Android phones don't have it. So I think as you're looking to try and figure out what devices you want to support, I think, again, it's important to kind of start with that policy set and say, okay, is encryption required for us to deliver email? If it is, then you need to start looking at phones that require email, you know, that have encryption support, or tablets have encryption support, and then kind of lock out those that don't. And we can certainly help you identifying which ones do and don't, and then only allowing those that do, so those certain access rights, for example. So I think you kind of start there and figure out what your fundamental requirements are. Is there a cert authentication required for email access? Okay, then if you do, you have to try and find phones that support cert authentication, and I think you should try and go from there, and then try and support the broadest base of devices that you can that really have those minimum sets of security requirements met and checked off, so to speak.
Good. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about security requirements, managing mobile devices, some of the newer devices that are out there, and maybe some of the challenges in trying to respond to what different folks who walk into your agency have as far as mobile devices, especially in the area of security. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jeff Ward, Vice President, Federal for Mass 360, and Josh Lambert, Mass 360's iOS Product Manager.
Predicting panic attacks. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Your body may give you hints that you're going to have a panic attack, a short period of intense fear and discomfort. 43 panic attack sufferers carried portable recorders that measured respiration, heart rate, and other bodily functions over 2,000 hours. Elise Murray is at Southern Methodist University.
Most of the physiological changes took place long before the patients reported that what they felt was a panic attack.
To combat attacks, she suggests,
changing respiration when noticing symptoms could be effective in averting a full-blown panic attack. One should try to breathe as little air as possible to reverse hyperventilation.
Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Hey, Lucas.
Hello, Angie. You ready for dinner?
Yeah. Hey, is that a new radio for your ride?
Sure is. Went to Walmart for the Pioneer DEH-44 HD with HD radio built in.
HD radio?
HD radio is digital broadcast radio. Digital sound, new channels, no subscription fees.
From Walmart?
Great values there. Only $120 for a Pioneer HD radio receiver.
Forget dinner. Let's get my car and head to Walmart.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
We see the hiker. He appears injured.
Every day, the Army and National Guard take to the skies in their newest helicopter, the UH-72A Lakota from EADS North America. Whether for medical evacuation, search and rescue, or emergency response, the Lakota ensures our armed forces complete the mission.
Hiker is secure.
And every Lakota has been delivered on time and on budget.
ETA, 30 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Monster Racing has an exclusive offer for Recreation News readers over in Delaware. You can ride in a real race car on the Dover Speedway, or you can actually drive the car yourself. You can check out the deal on page 61 of Recreation News, or, of course, at recreationnews.com. And check out the coupon, because you can take a buddy or your spouse for a half price. Remember, it's exclusive for Recreation News only.
What about something just a bit more relaxing?
Over in Rehoboth, Delaware, they've got the Delaware Festival of Jazz coming up October 12th to the 16th. You can get tickets to individual events online right now. Check out the details on page 69 of Recreation News. You can find out more about travel packages down in that area, the beach communities in Southern Delaware, at visitsoutherndelaware.com.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jeff Ward, Vice President Federal for Mass 360, and Josh Lambert, Mass 360's iOS Product Manager. And this, of course, is a managed service brought to you by FiberLink, F as in Frank, FiberLink.com for more information. FiberLink. Geez, you talk about managing mobile devices. You got to look at, well, geez, I'm going to go to managed service. It's going to take me 3 weeks to move this managed service. I mean, you're more pain than you're worth there, Jeff. Isn't that right? Or how does this all work? I mean, what do I have to take all my devices and drive them to Philadelphia? Or how does this work?
Thanks, John. That's a softball, so I appreciate that one. One of the great things about a cloud-based managed service is the install time. And literally, we can get you up and running in 30 minutes over the phone. So there's no hardware that's required on your network. There's no hardware that goes into your DMZ. It's literally over the phone. And so when you've got this cloud-first initiative, as we've talked about, hanging over your heads, that three services need to be up and running by the end of 2011. I've talked to many CXOs, and I almost think I can see a little glisten in their eye when they go, wait a minute, in 20 minutes I can be using the cloud and get that check in the block. And I say, yeah, absolutely.
That's really the question I think a lot of people have, because once you start moving an application to the cloud from an IT perspective, first of all, you got to make sure everything is all set there. Then you got to transition to this and the checkbox of this makes it secure. You can write whole books on making this transition, but this is a cloud-based application that's easy to deploy. And yet, I can change my policy probably just as quickly. I can eliminate certain devices or add certain devices if they pop open the next 4 months. Is that right?
Absolutely. In fact, it does auto-discover. Let me, a slight correction. It's a cloud service. That's key. You're not outsourcing any applications. We're not hosting any data. So the typical concerns about, ooh, who owns the data? What if I change vendors? What about the security? It is a service that you're just leveraging, and it happens to be through the cloud and delivered as a, you know, software as a service model. But yeah, to your point, exactly. It does an auto-discovery. So in fact, I had one customer that we were spinning up over the phone, and as we're walking them through the getting their back end snapped into our platform, said, "Hey, how many smart devices do you have, by the way?" And he says, "I got about 500. Okay. And we literally started to watch them self-register into our portal, the Mass 360 portal, and it looked like a gas pump. It blew through 500 and finally settled about 1,200 or 1,300 devices.
Well, so, he was surprised.
Very surprised. And there were that extra 500 to 700 personal devices that once somebody had the credentials, They go, oh, great. I'm not just going to use my government-furnished device. I'm going to log my iPad, and, oh, I'm at grandma's house. Let me log in off of this device. Well, we give a way to make sure that, wait a minute, I'm going to block those devices and then tactically, systematically and allow them access if they accept the policies that Josh was talking about earlier.
And Josh, we can change the policy. So 2 months from now, there's a new version of Apple operating system that is buggy and we don't want to use it. So I can get a hold of Mass 360 and say, here's a policy change I want. Would you work with a customer in that regard? Or are there certain best practices you'd suggest? Or for this agency, you'd recommend that? Or how would I even come up with this policy?
Yeah, I think in general, the policies that you can configure in MAS is really around the devices in the operating system version. We haven't heard too much as far as blocking new versions, but certainly trying to make sure people upgrade from old versions is quite common, especially given how fast these versions are coming out. And to your point, with new versions impending with both iOS and Android. So I think certainly what we would just do is, I think it takes about 30 seconds if you wanted to try and set a minimum policy, minimum OS version, and then we would start notifying employees that they had to upgrade, and then you can, of course, configure what action to take if they don't upgrade in a timely fashion, and then go from there.
Yeah, 40 hours of meetings to call you for 30 seconds to change the policy. That's what it winds up with. You know, Josh, back when you were in grade school, we had one of our Govies left a notebook computer in a taxi. Mm-hmm. It was the end of the world. People were screaming. Meanwhile, in the commercial world, 200 a day were being lost. So a poor Govy loses one. It's the end of the world. Now we have remote wipeout through remote devices. In fact, you can do it with Exchange Server. I certainly wouldn't want to manage devices through Exchange Server. It seems like it'd be kind of tough. But you can do remote wipe through this system. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can do remote wipes in a number of different ways, from the complete device reset, essentially where it kind of comes back to where it was in the factory, to pulling off just that kind of company or federal data off that device, leaving your personal photos, contacts, and things like that alone. So we kind of can cover that one off in different ways depending on the situation.
And also, if you rely on Exchange Server, you're limited to that one type of device. You can't cross over to BlackBerry or Apple, but your service allows you to cross over to a multitude of different operating systems. Jeff, I've got to ask you about my dentist. Why am I asking about my dentist? My dentist sends me text messages and says, don't forget tomorrow morning, 8:30, you got to get your teeth cleaned. And I see more and more people using SMS text messages for advertising or spam, as they call it in the old-fashioned world. But you can control it through your system too, can't you?
I might throw that one to Josh about what we're doing in the SMS world.
Sure. So that's an interesting question, and one we get from customers quite a lot. Unfortunately, on some of the Android and iOS platforms, it's not really possible to block SMS, unfortunately.
Huh.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So oftentimes what we recommend that they do is, if they don't want certain batches of users to have SMS, they can actually put a carrier block in on that SMS on that device, and then they'll kind of block it from sending and receiving text messages that way. Unfortunately, these platforms just don't haven't kind of crossed that one yet as far as turning off the SMS feature.
I think this is an aspect of the increasingly unsafe world of mobile devices. There's all kinds of mobile devices out there, and people are trying to use that as an attack vector to go after maybe someone who's listening to this broadcast right now. And this type of service actually increases security because you can patch equipment quicker and you can respond to emergency situations faster than you could in the old plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the last situation we had here in D.C. with the earthquake, in fact, ironically, the Snowmageddon and the earthquake and the hurricanes, they actually reinforced the importance of mobilizing the federal workforce. I had a situation with a gent I know out at JPL with NASA, obviously already set up for telework from home. They had the big fires out there a couple of years ago. He goes home and he can't get into his house because the house has been cordoned off. So now he's truly a mobile worker and working off of his smart device. And, to your point earlier, John, about the VA laptop that was lost, and, I'm a vet and got my letter as well. It gets your attention. Think about getting an MDM platform that allows you to, manage the documents that are on the device. We're doing some pretty sophisticated things with making sure that, you can securely view documents without downloading them onto the device itself. so that you can use the policy engine to block things like Dropbox, which I know is a big concern. So, managing applications that are there and shouldn't be there, and managing the documents on the device, as you said, ironically, a cloud-based managed service allows you to actually have more security on a mobile device often than you can from a land-based device.
And that applies equally to smartphones and iPads and other tablet devices. Is that true?
Mm-hmm, correct.
So how do you keep up with, I subscribe to a lot of new services. Every time I turn around, there's a new tablet coming out there. There's a new Kindle. There's a new this. There's a new that. Samsung's coming up with something. People are saying, oh, well, Windows is going to be dominating this market, too. I mean, it just seems like difficult to just keep up with all the new tablet devices, just the tablet category.
Yeah, certainly it's a very fast-moving market, and trying to keep up on your own could be quite challenging. We're shipping new versions of code, essentially, if you want to call it that, for a cloud service, transparent in the background there, about every 2 weeks or so to try and keep up. Yep. So we're moving pretty quickly to try and keep up with things, and that way we can kind of give you that one window look into all your devices, and so when you try that. That new Android tablet that comes out, or when you try the new Windows Phone 7 device that comes out, it'll be supported and can kind of tell you, oh yeah, here's the encryption support it supports, here's the application, here's the passcode functions it supports, and kind of explore it that way.
My wife is a very, very thorough and detail-oriented person. She'd work 18 hours a day and want to know every single version of every operating system and make sure that her people were safe. And it's just that how many hours there in the day? I mean, even if you did 16 hours a day, you couldn't keep up with all the new variations. There's a new Samsung tablet going to come out. How's that going to impact you? I mean, it seems so much easier to throw it over the fence and have someone else manage it than being dutiful and worried yourself, because you're not going to catch up with every new operating system that's out there, especially in the mobile world. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about managing mobile devices. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jeff Ward, Vice President Federal for Mass 360, Josh Lambert, Mass 360's iOS Product Manager.
Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED.
How is the U.S. Department of Defense improving its business operations? What is DoD doing to modernize its business processes and to use resources more efficiently? And how is the DoD promoting management and operational excellence? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Beth McGrath, Deputy Chief Management Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense. It's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Do you worry about the kids being home alone after school? You don't need to. Experience peace of mind with Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security. Already have a system? Switch to Ackerman's award-winning monitoring and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and it's free to switch. Know your home is protected before the kids come home. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. 1-888-999-1070. Ackerman Security.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Casey Coleman is GSA's Chief Information Officer. She says moving email to the cloud required some tough choices.
What security controls
GSA was going to retain and what controls we were going to rely on our industry partners to perform and to maintain and monitor. One of the design choices we made was GSA would retain the list of authenticated users, and we would do the verification that those logging into the new email system were authenticated GSA users.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
It seeks and finds the enemy before the enemy knows he's been found. Detects targets from safe standoff range. Day or night, rain or shine, through dust, smoke, and enemy countermeasures. Locks on targets and destroys them. It is JAGM, the Joint Air-to-Ground Missile. Designed by Lockheed Martin, JAGM owes its accuracy to its fourth-generation cooled tri-mode seeker, which allows its three sensors to operate as a single all-seeing eye, simultaneously and collaboratively sharing information, delivering firepower with surgical precision, saving lives. Lockheed Martin's JAGM builds on decades of experience designing, producing, integrating, and supporting air-to-ground missiles, and more than 10 years of the most rigorous testing. JAGM, mature, ready, affordable, proven. From Lockheed Martin, we never forget who we're working for.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jeff Ward, Vice President Federal for Mass 360 by FiberLink, and Josh Lambert, Mass 360's iOS Product Manager. So the company is FiberLink, and the managed service is Mass 360 for mobile devices, called in the community MDM. Is that right?
That's right. Mobile device management.
Mobile device management. Well, I give all my guests this very sophisticated nerd test to find out who the real nerd in the room is. I have my suspicions here, but I'm asking both of these questions, so you have to have an honest answer. Josh, you're your first computer.
I don't know, but maybe like 1986 or 7. It was my dad's IBM PC Junior he brought home.
Oh, you're pushing it. You're pushing it. Okay, so Jeff, how about you?
First home PC would be 92. Okay. And first laptop was 02, though. That's a shocker.
And Josh, here, your first cell phone. You're so young, this is not a fair contest. Right. But we're going to let you play anyway.
I'm trying to think back to my first cell phone. Probably going to college, I think, most likely. So maybe 97, 98.
It's not bad.
I had one of those old Motorola bricks, 1990.
1990, pretty early. Yeah. That was pretty early. Your home operating system, Josh?
Mac and Windows.
Both?
Yeah.
Jeff?
I think Windows XP.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that loses points. Any of you two have a fancy home connection like T1 lines or satellite or anything, or just standard type DSL, Fios, standard type stuff, guys?
I'm standard.
Yeah, standard
cable.
Now, Josh, type of mobile phone you have?
So I have both iOS and Android phone, but I have to admit I do personally prefer my iOS device.
You have both. This is going to be tough for you to beat, Jeff. What do you have?
Just a Verizon iPhone.
Okay, so number of apps you have in your machine, Josh. Let's take your Apple.
I think I only have like 80 apps, which is
only 80.
but I think that's like the total one. Uh-huh. My devices get wiped a lot, and so they end up tending to only have the few apps that are really important. So I probably have on my device right now, probably 30.
Interesting.
But the total download list is like 80 from iTunes.
And Jeff, how about you?
I'm 30. If I take off the ones my son put on there, it's about 10.
That counts.
Well, we've been talking about tablet devices, so we got to ask Josh what kind of tablet device you have.
I have an iPad 2, an iPad 1, and I had a touchpad, but no longer.
An ouchpad?
Yeah.
And you, Jeff?
My wife has an iPad.
You're losing her odometer rating here.
I bought it for me, I'll add, but she quickly usurped it.
I know that drill. Social networking sites for you, Josh. Which ones do you participate in?
Primarily I have a LinkedIn, which I guess I have to admit put a half-hearted effort into, and then Facebook, which is also a bit of a half-hearted effort. I begrudgingly joined Facebook maybe 2 years ago, so I was a real latecomer to that game, and LinkedIn probably a little more early there, but...
How about you, Jeff?
LinkedIn, and then with two college-age daughters, the only way to communicate is Facebook these days. So.
And now the last determining question, Josh. The last book you read was paper or electronic?
Paper.
Curveball. Jeff, how about you?
Hardback paper.
Hardback. Well,
old school.
I'm afraid Josh has got you on this, but you have some surprising answers. That early cell phone, that was 1990. You were really trendy, buddy. You were trending high.
How about that?
Back in the day, back when Josh was in grade school or something like that.
Did you have a corded cell phone in the car?
It was, absolutely.
Yeah, that was the big deal, especially in the construction world. You can reach me anytime.
Uh-huh.
And that's meant you had a phone in your car, which really wasn't anytime, but that's how they build it. Speaking of reaching people anytime, we were talking about mobile devices like iPads and iPhones, and look at them, three or four right in front of me in this room. How do you manage those? And I want to ask Jeff this question. We talked about policies, very specific policies about managing phones and wiping them out. What about the federal government? I see people in the DOD with certain policies, and I see civilian agencies with different policies. Is there a big gulf between the two as far as how they want to manage these devices, or is it all coming together? Or, you've seen both sides of the coin here. Where do you see them coming in?
Yeah, I think absolutely that there was a time where the civilian agencies were leading the charge with cloud and mobility for obvious reasons. But frankly, you know, I've been attending a lot of DOD meetings lately, and they're trying to attract the young soldiers and young Marines and sailors and airmen. And to do that, they've got to use consumer version smart devices right out of the box. And they are, I think, looking to do that. So those lines have blurred quite a bit.
Mobile devices, a more technical question for you, Josh. What about the future here of mobile devices? I mean, we're seeing a slew of them here this summer, this year. Where do you see the transition? Do you think products like from Microsoft, Windows 7, you think they're going to come to dominate, as I've been reading lately and have a hard time believing?
Yeah, I think you're probably not going to see, at least in my perspective, any one OS really come to the dominance that Windows did back recently with like 90%, 95% market share. So I think you'll find maybe two or three Android, iOS, and my guess is probably maybe a third, which probably will be Windows Phone 7, really kind of come up here and have a pretty decent market share is my kind of gut feel around that.
Got to ask you another nerd question. Steve Jobs left your favorite company. What do you think is going to happen to Apple? Is it going to get beat up now by those big, tough guys at Microsoft?
I don't think so. I think he's got a pretty good management team in place, and they're clearly very capable. I think the only place where the question really lies is that next iPhone, that next iPad. I think they can execute on their current product set extremely well, and that's not going to suffer. But it kind of is that visionary next product in 3, 4, 5 years that we'll see really what happens there.
How can you maintain being insanely great? Well, it looks like Mass 360 is insanely great. Another challenge for you guys is trying to maintain that and listening to the people in the federal government and trying to respond to what their needs are, which have got to be subtly different from the commercial world, but there's still similar type requirements in the commercial world for managing mobile devices. I'd like to thank my two guests from the studio today, Jeff Ward, Vice President, Federal Mass 360, and Josh Lambert, Mass 360's iOS Product Manager. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Did you know federalnewsradio.com offers specialized news feeds just for your agency? Find the agency news page at federalnewsradio.com, search term agency news.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTOPFMHD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story, the trial of Michael Jackson's doctor is...